Jeffrey Blunt worked in network television for more than 30 years, directing Meet the Press and other programs at NBC News, winning an Emmy along the way. These days, he is an author and speaker, and on Wednesday night, he will appear here in Chattanooga as part of the Southbound Lecture Series, presented by Southern Lit Alliance at the Bessie Smith Cultural Center, starting at 6 p.m. Jeffrey, who lives in Washington, D.C., joined us by phone, along with Linda Levan of Southern Lit Alliance. Jeffrey, Linda, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Jeffrey, tell us what brings you to Chattanooga for Southbound.
I'm coming to share my latest novel, The Emancipation of Evan Walls, and talk to people about the issue that that represents and put it in context, in particular with Black History Month, since we will be celebrating that.
And you have two other novels that people might recognize, Almost Snow White and Hating Heidi Foster. What can you share without giving away the entire novel? What can you share about this latest book?
This latest book surrounds the phenomenon of acting white in the African-American community. We meet Evan Walls as a young adult, and he and his wife have just had their first child. And instead of being excited and happy, as you might expect, Evan is actually terrified. And he's terrified that his daughter will have to suffer through the things that he suffered through. And then it goes back to Evan at 10 years old in the late 60s, and he could be described as young, gifted, and black in the lingo of the day. But that description at the point of integration causes him great pain. It forces him to walk a narrow line between two very different cultures. On one hand, we have a culture that looks at him as the uppity N-word, and as a black boy in the late 60s, he wouldn't be surprised by that. But he was surprised, however, by the reaction of his people, his culture, his community to him being academically inclined and in an advanced class. And they termed him to be a sellout and said that he was acting white. And Evan spends the greater part of his time trying to, and asking himself really the question as to whether or not he is black enough to remain a part of his culture and his community.
What drew you to this idea for this book?
Well, I have lived it partially myself, and that was not enough to make me write the novel. I had left my hometown and moved past it. It wasn't until I read an article about a little boy who lived in the projects. A reporter had been doing a story about living in the projects. He'd been spending time there, an African-American male reporter. And he heard the story about this brilliant little boy who got all A's, who loved going to school. And every once in a while, he got beat up coming home because they didn't like the fact that he was being so intellectually inclined. So the reporter went to find the family. He eventually found the mom, and he said to her, "This is a terrible story, what I'm hearing. I know it must be difficult for your son. I know it must be really hard on you, too." And she says something, and I'm paraphrasing, akin to, "I wish he'd just be a janitor or something and stop causing me problems." And that brought back all of the stuff that I had dealt with when I was growing up. And I had a conversation with my mom about it, and my mom suggested, knowing that I like to write, that this story should be a novel that I should write, that I should put my talent to work to raise the issue in the minds of the public, particularly in the African-American community, in the hopes that we could do something to help these kids. And then as I, over the years, I've tracked more and more stories like this.
You grew up in Virginia.
I did.
Evan Wills, how much, if at all, is that drawn from your own experience and how much from others that you have met and read about?
I answered this question the other night, and I think I answered it in a percentage, and I think that's probably the best way. So it's like 10% of the book is me. In terms of what the character dealt with in dealing with this issue of acting white, it's probably a little bit more with me if you add the fact that I set it in a made-up town called Canaan, but Canaan very much represents the area in Tidewater, Virginia, where I grew up, my town and more towns that I knew when I grew up. And I wanted to set it in that time period, one, because this is when this whole phenomenon is believed to have begun, and also it's what I knew, and I wanted this story to be really authentically my feelings while dealing with this issue.
What do you want people to take away from reading this book?
I want people to be aware of the issue, and I want people to do something about it. I want people to understand that black kids are hurting, black kids are taking their own lives, middle school kids committing suicide because they're being bullied, and their only crime is that they're intellectually inclined. And this is a travesty. Intellect is part of our history, from Frederick Douglass to African-American astronauts and everything in between. Becoming educated has been a goal, and being able to understand the world in which we live so we could do better for ourselves has always been a goal, and somewhere we slipped. And some of our kids are suffering because of it, and they shouldn't be. So I want to draw attention to that with the hopes that these kids can dream unencumbered.
And Linda, what does the Southern Lit Alliance want to draw attention to in bringing Jeffrey here for its Southbound Lecture Series for Black History Month?
First, we want to have a diverse group of authors that are coming. So that was number one. The second thing is we really believe in the power of literature, that it really educates. Even if it's fiction, you learn so much about cultural awareness, social injustice, and even helps you be more empathetic. Research actually shows that people who read literature are more empathetic because they're seeing things, in this case, through the eyes of Evan Walls. And as a white person, it has been just so eye-opening to me to understand better the culture and what some of these kids have been going through. We're just trying to open a dialogue about racism and social injustice, in addition to showing the beauty of literature as an art.
And what Jeffrey writes about, it's not only Virginia and the 1960s, it's right here, right now, including Chattanooga.
It is still with us. I don't know about what's happening in particular in Chattanooga, but I can tell you in 2019, the Washington Post did a story about a young cellist, an African-American cellist, who also, because he chose the kind of music he did, classical music, chose to play the kind of instrument he did. In the interview with the Post, his mother said that he was acting outside of his culture. He spoke of a childhood in which he described being the target of family jokes for getting good grades and acting white. And then not a few days ago, someone emailed me a story about an 8-year-old boy in Cincinnati who killed himself. And much of the story surrounded his not being what other people thought he should be as well, in terms of he liked to dress up, and when he went to school, he wore a tie and he got good grades, and he was bullied to the point where he took his own life. And I want to follow up on something Linda said, in the sense that we want to learn about social justice, and we want to talk about racism, and we want to talk about how we've overcome this, and Evan gives us the ability to do all of that. When we think of the issue of acting white that Evan represents, it is a subset of systemic and societal racism. It would not exist. I wouldn't have written the book, and I wouldn't be coming to visit you if it weren't for the fact that we were dealing with this societal racism. And throughout the book, this issue appears, as well as Evan's specific individual issues, so that the reader can reflect on history, how it's affected the African-American community, and how we end up with different situations like this. We're talking about acting white here. The ABC television show Blackish did something on colorism. And at the end of that, there's a voiceover. And one of the actors says, this is a very difficult subject within the African-American community to discuss. And we knew it was going to be hard on some viewers, but we did it because nothing can get fixed in the shadows. And that's why Evan Walls is written, so that this issue can come out of the shadows, and it will illuminate so much more around it. And I will definitely speak to the power of literature, and I will definitely speak to what we can do, blacks and whites and Asians and Latinos and everybody else, what we can do to help these kids, and what we lose when we don't help them. And I'll do that by showing some amazing examples of African Americans who have shared their gifts with us and have changed us all.
I think certainly it's obvious in the book, as he writes about racism and whites' racism against blacks, this problem among the culture of blacks would not exist if it wasn't for the terrible racism that was inflicted on them by whites.
Exactly.
So that's the big picture.
Linda, where can people go online for more information about Jeffrey coming to Chattanooga?
Yes. So he'll be here on February 5th at the Bessie Smith Cultural Center, who's partnering with us. And admission is free. We got a grant from Ben Wood Foundation, thanks to them. So we want everybody to come out, but we do ask for a reservation to make sure we have a chair. And that is at www.southernlitalliance.org.
Jeffrey and Linda, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.